Next item, 1313.
Authorize acquisition, construction, and permanent funding not to exceed $21,700,000 using North McAdam Urban Renewal Area funds to acquire certain real property located at 2095 Southwest River Parkway for the development of a 203-unit affordable rental housing project and authorize a 99-year ground lease to River Place 3 Housing Limited Partnership or another Bridge Housing Corporation affiliate.
Colleagues, the River Place Parcel Number 3 development is another example of the great partnership between our office, the Housing Bureau, the Joint Office for Homelessness and Prosper Portland. This project will be a 13-story, entirely affordable building with 203 multifamily residential units. Our commitment to develop deeply affordable units continues with this project. It'll include 90 units that will serve households at or below 30% MFI. 20 of the units will be for permanent supportive housing. 10 units are vouchered units specifically set aside for veterans. Portland Housing Bureau's Investment Committee approved the project based upon new criteria after requesting that the Bureau adjust the proposed terms. We have a couple of amendments, one to update the Portland Housing Bureau approval in Section 1, Finding 15, and include the correct Exhibit A, and another from Commissioner Fish around Finding 7 language regarding funding for permanent supportive housing units, and you should have that language in front of you. To tell us more about this development opportunity, we have the Housing Bureau's Kurt Krieger, Director Krieger.
Yes, thank you very much, and I'll be joined by Cynthia Parker, the President and CEO of Bridge Housing, and I think it would be fine if she came up as I introduce the subject matter. We have a PowerPoint presentation spooled up for you. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler.
Good afternoon.
So, we have two presentations, one sort of a backgrounder, since we have two members of council that may not have been on council when the North McAdam Urban Renewal Area was last recalibrated, and then the specifics about River Place Parcel 3. I provide a bit of history here. River Place Parcel 3 came to council last in, the URA came to the council last in 2015, and there was a careful discernment by the city council to evaluate the URA and to ensure that family-sized housing was part of the development program going forward. Up to that point, only the Gray's Landing project undertaken by REACH with PHB support had been constructed. So the council passed a resolution which stipulated several things which needed to happen. The affordable housing set-aside was increased from the longstanding 30% to 42% for the life of the district. The rights for the development of a site within the North McAdam Urban Renewal Area was identified, and Prosper Portland and PHB were directed to work together on the procurement of a developer for that site. This map shows you generally the, it shows you the entire boundaries, including the merged adjacent education URA. And when we undertook this project, it was a Prosper Portland-owned site, so they led the procurement effort. But PHB was joined at the hip to make sure that we had at least 200 units of affordable housing, with at least 62 of which were going to be affordable to people with incomes from 0 to 30% of AMI. And it's worth mentioning that Commissioner Fish was very directly involved in the negotiation for that deep investment in affordable housing.
Kurt, can I just add one piece of history? Because I wish we did a historical slide on every project, because we forget our history, and then the council turns over, and history begins with the closing documents. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge two events which predated 2015 that are critically important. One was the demise of the Education Urban Renewal District and its replacement with an expanded urban renewal district in South Waterfront. And I won't go through all the details, but that was a very contested discussion, lots of moving pieces. The demise of a freestanding education URA created an opportunity to expand the existing boundaries. But I want to pay particular tribute to a former commissioner and a former nonprofit leader who in either 2014 or 2015, Commissioner Fritz, my memory's a little cloudy, but it's one of those two, either late 14 or 15. Gretchen Cafori, the founder, the commissioner who actually founded the Housing Bureau and was literally the mother of the CDC movement here, with Susan Emmons, who was one of our most respected advocates, came to council and through a, let me put it this way, raised their voices loudly at this council and said that the council, and it wasn't directed to any member of this council, it was the council generically, had not, in their view, met its promise to the community around South Waterfront. This predated you, Kurt, predated the mayor. This was a, but there were some other people at the table who had been involved for years around this. And I don't remember, Commissioner Fritz, a hearing in which there was more heat generated from activists. Even today, where we're used to lots of heat from activists, when Gretchen Cafori raised her voice, it got everyone's attention. And what she did is she challenged the council to not only honor its commitment, but double down. And as a result of that, and partnerships and conversations and a lot of work, we got the second site and additional resources, the bump in the set aside. And Dan Saltzman and a whole lot of other people deserve some credit who were part of those discussions. But I want to just acknowledge Gretchen Cafori, who's no longer with us, because she came in and was a singular voice in getting our attention. And it did set in motion a number of things. And I think it's fair to say we would not be here today had she and Susan Emmons not come in and educated the council about where they felt we were lacking. And so I honor both of their work in this regard.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, for that background. So the next slide talks a little bit about the contours of the procurement itself. April 9th of 2015, RFP was put out on the street with a minimum expectation of 200 affordable units between 0 and 60% of AMI, and at least 90 of those affordable to people between 0 and 30% of MFI. And as you witnessed in many of our other projects, that's a particularly deep dive. It's a very deep investment in equity. Bridge was in heavy competition with two other very worthy contenders, but they ultimately prevailed. And they prevailed with an initial plan of 365 units. It's been modified slightly. Cynthia will discuss some of the permutations they've gone through. They had a particular interest in an anchor grocery of 30,000 square feet. Also, they spent a lot of time working with about 20 different grocers to try to secure that. But Prosper was not in a position to provide financial assistance since they were investing in 4th and Harrison. So that ground floor retail has been right-sized to the available resources. Parking is provided and 203 affordable units from 0 to 60 proposed. Of those, 90 units, as specified, would be from 0 to 30, and they break out into three categories. There are 70 housing choice vouchers provided by Home Forward, 10 Veterans Affairs supportive housing vouchers, and then 10 units are made affordable through the net operating income of the overall project. So 90 units in total. And under Commissioner Saltzman, $19 million was set aside to undertake our portion of this project. With all that, the Bridge Housing proceeded with the option to purchase with Prosper and design the project. They got notice to authorization to proceed in April of 2016. On November 9th of 2016, we had a gaping hole in the budget because the value of tax credits was diminished by the promise of lower corporate income taxes. So we worked throughout the winter and spring of last year to fill that hole, and Bridge, through their resourcefulness, which is exactly why we selected them, was able to commandeer other resources to enhance the capital stack. We then authorized them to go into full construction drawings and in August, which they did do. We have been, as you know, in a very tight labor market, and materials and labor have both been going up about 1% a month. So when they initiated final design development, and construction specifications in August. It took about 5 months for all that to be wrapped up, and we experienced 1% a month inflation over 5 months, which was a $4.7 million gap. So Cynthia came back to the Housing Bureau with her partner, Williams and Dame Development, to try to partner in that resolution of this problem. They were willing to cover about half of it, but they needed some assistance. So the Housing Bureau showed a willingness to provide $2.7 million of additional revenues available at the conversion of the loan to a permanent loan. But we also needed additional public value. You had previously approved your permanent supportive housing resolution. We asked for at least 20 units of the vouchered units to be provided with services to be a fully robust permanent supportive housing units. We also felt that it was necessary to secure the public interest in the land. And as I've explained to some of you in preparation for this hearing, we initially looked at ownership of the land under the West Tower, the affordable tower. And I took that proposal to the Housing Investment Committee, and they had a split vote on the issue. So we continued to work the issue between November 28th and December 1st, last Friday. And since then, Bridge has consented to buy the land from Prosper at a discounted price, to sell it at the same discounted price for $2.7 million, essentially. And we will then lease back the property to them to undertake the project. Prosper procured one project with two towers, and it's important to recognize the Prosper Board's intent in that regard. So we have negotiated a provision that says that they will undertake the second building, what's so-called East Building, no later than December 31st of 2020, or the Housing Bureau can replace Bridge with a replacement developer. We have every reason to believe that they will perform. It's to their best economic interest to do so, but we also want to make sure that the entire property gets built. So before you today are approval of two loans, one for $19 million of North McAdam tax increment, and one for the $2.7 million over and above the baseline of 19. So it's $21.7 million. We're also asking your approval for the execution of a purchase and sales agreement in substantially the form provided with the replacement Exhibit A, which the mayor explained, which would be a ground lease between PHB and River Place 3 Housing Limited Partnership, the ultimate borrower. I would say that the appraisal for the underlying tower has been performed, and we're essentially getting a piece of land valued at $4.7 million for $2.7 million. And we are, in turn, then leasing it to Bridge for 99 years to ensure permanent affordability. So I want to assert that the public value in this project is very strong, and it actually got stronger as we negotiated longer. And this is a project that does need to close by the end of this year because tax credits will be valued lower next year with the lower corporate tax rates. So with that, I do want to recognize that Siobhan Beto from the Housing Bureau, the underwriter, has worked through the Thanksgiving holiday on this project, the entire holiday, including weekend. And Javier Mina and the Housing Finance Manager, Carl Dinkelspiel, have been very deeply involved with this project all along. So without them, it would not have gotten to this state of readiness. Cynthia?
Great. Thank you, Director Kiger and Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. I'm Cynthia Parker, and I'm the President and CEO of Bridge Housing. And with me is Nicole Peterson, who is the Vice President and Director of Bridge Housing in Portland. So we're going to talk briefly about the project, but I also wanted to just comment on Commissioner Fish's recollection and tribute to the two women who had spoken up so early on about housing here in Portland. Gretchen was a friend of mine back in the 70s, and I knew her well. I think it's fitting that we're here today to continue to move on with this doubling down and hopefully build this housing, which is so desperately needed in this town. So having said that, I'm going to just briefly run you through this project and talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we've had. Frankly, we're very challenged in the housing world right now because of, as stated by Director Krieger, some of the proposed changes with the Tax Reform Act. The House version promises to eliminate the volume cap bond program, which is paired with the 4% tax credits. That particular, if that version of the bill does pass by Christmas as promised, then we will have all of the tax-exempt bonds issued under volume cap in the variety of states go away, and the tax-exempt status will be terminated on 12/31 of this year. So thanks to the Bureau for their speedy help in trying to move this along, and we certainly appreciate the staff's working through the holiday and helping us get this moving.
And by the way, in plain English, with the change in the corporate tax rate, if the pricing of a tax credit drops to 80 cents on the dollar or something like that, you know, we would not have been able to do Gray's Landing or a number of projects with tax credits that diminished. And that's what Kurt alluded to. And those two changes, at a time when we're getting so little support from the federal government, it's really a 1-2 punch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's it really threatens to reshape the small amount of housing that we're able to create in this country with this tool right now. So we're working very hard with a number of people, including our friends at the Bureau, to try to issue any lobbying or entries to our congressional members. So please get your telephones out and let people know that this is going to be a real problem. So with that, let's just move on to this particular project, and I'm going to call upon Nicole also to help me with this. But basically, you see in front of you the project itself, which as proposed is a phased development. The first tower, which is 203 units, is 100% affordable, and it is currently envisioned that the second building, which is a wood frame 177 units of housing, would be phased and would also be affordable, and that's what we plan on doing. The project team is Hoffman Construction. We have Dan Dinkrath. Sorry, Dan. I was thinking of his grandfather. Here today to talk a little bit about construction costs, which have certainly gone quite crazy here in Portland over the last few months. And then we also have Anker Moisen Architects. I'm sure you know them. They're the architects at the Sitka and Ramona here in Portland. And then our advisors have been Dame Williams, Dyke Dane in particular. He's been working with us for a number of years. As said, the project itself was awarded to Bridge in 2015, back in July, and we have worked quite diligently and expended a great deal of money to move it through the variety of processes that are in front of us. Both sites, both projects, are moving along at exactly the same level, so they are both permitted and shovel-ready, but the financing for the 100% affordable building that's located in the tower is the one that has the plan of finance completed. So there's still work to do on the second phase. The 203 units in the project do consist of 90 units that are below 30% of AMI. 70 are supported by project-based vouchers that are provided by Home Forward. 10 are veterans VASH voucher units. And then again, as mentioned earlier, 20 are permanent supportive housing. And then 111 units are at 60% of area median income, two managers' units. I'd note that Bridge is very involved with supportive housing. We have developed over 12,000 units of housing. We have 2,000 in our pipeline under construction right now. But of those units that we've developed, 1,040 are permanent supportive housing. So we have a deep commitment to that type of housing. We know what it takes to provide the services. And really, to be successful, those two can't go without the other, really, to make them effective. I would also add that we have about 1,020 supportive units in our pipeline right now, so we intend to complete those in the next couple of years. The tower itself is about an $86 million project, and Of that, the construction costs are about $54.7 million. Those are the hard costs of construction. It roughly equals about $250,000 a unit, of which $100,000 would be supported by funding from the Bureau and the City of Portland. So one of the reasons you see such a high price tag is that Portland is beginning to become quite a high-cost area, and you all know that you're rapidly moving up against Seattle in rental prices. I was just comparing some of those from the Seattle market where I have a home and just came down from this morning. One of the techniques that we've used to inject more tax credits into the building itself was to use the IRS allowance of developer fee to increase the developer fee to $8 million, of which $5 million will go back into the project. So it just is an artifice in order to get tax credit investment dollars back into the building and not use public resources for the city's coffers. Impact Capital, who is our partner, they partnered with us on the Abigail and in a project out in Hillsboro, will be the resident services provider. They are a provider of veteran services. And some of their programs will include financial literacy and management, homework clubs, parenting, education, health and wellness, and then again, services that are helping to coordinate the VASH vouchers and the veterans who will be living in the building. So of the city's funding, about $19 million will come from the North McAdam URA, $2.7 million from the North McAdam URA as well. So that was the second $2.7 that Kurt mentioned. And then there's a waiver of $3.3 million in system development charges, which is very much appreciated on our part. So both of the PHB loans will close simultaneously, as will the debt financing. And as said, we are using the we will purchase the land using bridge funding, then move that back immediately into the City of Portland's hands, and you will lease it back to us for 99 years. So that's essentially how that deal will work. I really don't have much else to say. I think that this has had a long and challenging road. First, with at the beginning of the year, with the following the election and the promise of tax reform that did impact pricing, as Commissioner Fish mentioned, and then of course now as we're moving ahead and looking at this additional threat of completely eliminating the program, we know that we all have to move quickly if we want to save this housing. So thank you.
I just have a couple of final comments. We talked a little bit about Block 45 last week, and there are some differences between the two. Block 45 on Grand and Holiday is in a qualified census tract, so that actually gets a basis boost. The tax credits are actually worth more in that location. So in this instance, the leverage ratio is 3-1. We're leveraging $3 of outside private financing for every $1 of public finance. And those partners include National Equity Fund in for $28 million, KeyBank and Oregon Housing and Community Services, some $17 million. This was the first and only project in the City of Portland to use Department of Justice settlement money from the Credit Suisse lawsuit, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had purchased some mortgages that were bundled by Credit Suisse, and they're found to be defective. So we benefited here in Portland from that. Bridge, as mentioned by Cynthia, is putting their own cash in the deal, and there's also a $40 million permanent loan on the project from Barron's Multifamily Capital. So it's important to recognize that, we're leveraging a significant amount of outside resources. The project not only will meet the long-term permanent affordability expectations of the city, but they'll be contracting with a minimum of 20% women, minority, small businesses, and it will be a LEED Gold sustainable project. That concludes my comments.
Very good. Before we, we need to put the amendments on the table, but how many people do we have signed up to testify?
I show two.
Why don't we do that, and then we'll put the amendments on the table.
Let's put them on first so they can testify to them.
All right, that's
fine. But by the way, just one question, Kurt, because I think it's important for people. You kept talking about leverage. So as my understanding is that the public investment per door, if you will, is about $100,000, and the rest is private equity and other sources. So when we're talking about the public's return on the investment, we're about $100,000 a door, and the rest comes from people willing to make investments in this through tax credits and other sources to get and loans for the difference.
Absolutely correct.
So that's a pretty attractive ratio in terms of leverage. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Colleagues, I move the mayoral amendment to update the Portland Housing Bureau approval in Section 1, Finding 15, and to include the correct Exhibit A.
Second.
I have a motion. Commissioner Fish seconds. Commissioner Fish has an amendment.
Mayor, I have an amendment which we've cleared with your office, which would amend the ordinance Section 1, Finding 7, by striking and replacing the second sentence as follows. Of the vouchered units, 20 will be for permanent supportive housing units. Strike, if no service funding is available for the permanent supportive housing units, then the requirement for said units is terminated and replaced with the following. The city, county, and our partners will prioritize finding the funding and services for these units in order to remain consistent with the stated goals outlined in Resolution 37323.
Very second. Good. We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Colleagues, any other amendments to put on the table at this time? We'll go ahead and leave those amendments open. We'll take public testimony and then vote. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Tim Davis and Shannon Milligan.
Come on up. 3 minutes. Name for the record. We don't need your address. If you're a lobbyist, let us know. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, my name is Shannon Milligan. I am a resident of the Abigail. It's an affordable building in the North Pearl District. It's built by Bridge Housing. I am a single mom of two kids. I'm a small business owner, and I'm a Portland native. Before I tell you about how great it is living at the Abigail, I'll tell you a bit about how it's changed my lives. Before I tell you how great it is to live at the Abigail, I'm going to tell you a little bit of background history leading to our residence. At the Abigail and Bridge Housing. 7 to 8 years ago, not once but twice, my children and I were displaced from our home. As the Portland housing market began to change, two go-arounds of packing up our things with a month's notice, and ironically, both times we moved all of our things into the same exact storage unit. We were unable to secure a place to call home in the time allotted. It was a complete nightmare. We couch surfed. We stayed with friends and relatives in both Vancouver and Beaverton while we commuted into the city to look for rentals daily and to go to work. I don't know if you've ever lived with your daily items stored in the trunk of your car, but it isn't easy. And like I said, we did that twice. I wasn't willing to change schools for my kids. In addition to the other changes that we were facing, my kids, they were stressed. My son was struggling in school. It was all out of their control, and it was out of my control as well. Each time we looked for housing, the prices climbed higher and out of our budget. The inner city where we lived, it had very little amount of family-size rentals. We couldn't compete with other rental candidates that showed up at the open houses. They presented dual incomes, they appeared more stable, and so time and time again, we were struck out. So we finally landed a new rental. It was well beyond our budget. It was substandard in many ways, but we stayed there for 5 years. During this time, I told others that I experienced renter's PTSD. I would worry about my lease in around renewal time. I'd worry that my landlord would raise my rent higher, impacting my already impossible budget, and he did. Would he want to sell it? Would he have us move it, or would we move again? Should I even be asking for necessary repairs, thinking in turn that he's going to think that I'm costly or that I'm a nuisance tenant, and again raise the rent? And if we were to move again, the market prices are even higher. Where would we go? Although we had a place to live, I was very anxious with the constant what-ifs in juggling my finances. I began to research affordable housing in Portland, and I read of plans for the Abigail. It wasn't far from our home. I watched it being built, and I dreamed of living there. I kept an eye on Bridge Housing's website, and on day one of the open application period, I went in and I turned in an application. And in August of 2016, my two children and I moved to the Abigail. We moved into stability, where I took a deep breath and I was able to shut down all the what-ifs that were bouncing around in my head in all those years of unstable living. Our building is diverse. We have varying income levels, ages, races, and backgrounds. It's a community. My family, along with many others of my neighbors, were flourishing, and we don't have the worry of how to simply live. It's safe. It's energy efficient. Like the presentation showed, we have support services from Impact Northwest with financial classes and events that bring all of the neighbors together. And I feel more connected in this building than I did anywhere that I've lived in years. It's near where I work. I can focus on growing my business. My kids can focus on school without distraction of thinking we may move. And I can be of support to them through college. And I can once again return to contributing to my own retirement funds. Living in affordable housing has changed my family's life for the better. I desire you all to take this into consideration when planning for the future of affordable housing here in Portland and with this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come and tell us your story. I'm glad it worked out for you.
There was one other gentleman. Is that correct?
Yes. Tim Davis.
Mr. Davis here? Mr. Davis has left. Very good. Please call the roll on Amendment 1, which was the first one that I put on the table pertaining to the Section 1, Finding 15.
And Exhibit A. Was it all?
And Exhibit A. It's part of the same amendment, swapping out Exhibit A.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Commissioner Fish's amendment, please.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Any further questions before we move on to the main motion? To the main motion, please call the roll.
Fritz.
I imagine there's lots of people in Portland who are absolutely terrified not knowing what's happening or knowing what's happening with the federal and tax code changing. And this is a bright light in the midst of all that darkness that people did work all the way through the Thanksgiving weekend and up till this very minute. And we're absolutely determined to get this done by the end of the year. So thank you, Director Krieger. Thank you to Bridge Meadows. Thanks to everybody who was involved in it. And thank you for coming to tell us, Shannon, of the really why we're doing this. You put the face on it. So thank you. I'm proud to live in a city and be serving on city council where people try to do the right thing and can do so very quickly when the needs arise. And I have to say that I'm sure that Gretchen Kefauri is here today. So I love you, Gretchen. Aye.
Saltzman. Fish. Sorry.
I'm sorry?
Fish.
Okay. Saltzman Fish. That was a new combination.
That's a new one. That's a new one, yeah.
I could only wish. I'm open to being adopted. I want to echo what Amanda just said about Gretchen. She mentored both of us. And most of the times that she summoned me to her apartment was around where she thought I was falling short. And we miss her greatly, although her spirit lives on in her daughter, the county chair. And I also want to acknowledge Susan Emmons. I can't think of someone who had a bigger impact on affordable housing. And, once upon a time, she actually shaped the editorial policy of the Oregonian around focusing on the needs of the very low income. So I honor both of them. Dan, you launched this process as the housing commissioner, and Kurt and the PHB team really brought it forward. So congratulations to you. And Mayor, a lot of good ideas come to council, but unless there's a closer, they don't get done. And by my count, in the course of a week, you have closed 443 units of affordable housing in our community, which is probably a record. One is the largest housing development that we've ever done of its kind. And I'd have to go back over history and ask Kurt to help me, but when I look at the numbers here on 0 to 60 and 0 to 30 plus the PSHs in this apartment, in this project, I don't think there's anything comparable other than something that Home Forward has done. So I congratulate you for meeting the needs of people really desperately shut out of the private markets and who desperately need our help. I met Bridge Housing many years ago when Dyke brought some folks over to introduce me, and they were it was his vision to bring them into the River District, and I think they have fully met the trust which we placed in them with the Abigail, which both is a standout project, and the testimony today speaks to how successful it is beyond just the beauty of the building, but the services and the way it's run. This took a lot of creative financing, and we are up against a clock and a gun, so congratulations on that. It's part of the ethic of our housing community, which is there's no barrier we're not going to work through, but it took a lot of work. Mayor, I think the 20 PSH units and the commitment we've made is a hell of a down payment on the policy which you have helped lead, and we will work with you to find that funding with the county and our partners because it's a shared obligation. I have the same sense of pride that Commissioner Fritz does, that we live in a community that can achieve something like this, and today I'm proud to cast my vote as an aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, everybody, that pulled together to keep this project alive. And it's a mind-boggling, to those of you who don't speak the language, to those of us who don't speak the language of housing, it's really mind-boggling to see all these numbers tossed around, all these different sources of funding that somehow magically come together. And I'm sure it's not magic. It's a lot of hard work. And so I just want to thank the Housing Bureau, Kurt Krieger, Cynthia Parker, and Bridge Housing, Prosper Portland, Mayor's Office, everybody that really kept this project alive, because it will produce a lot less PTSD on people like Shannon, who are going to be living in this new development. And I was struck, Commissioner Fritz, you inadvertently referred to Bridge Housing as Bridge Meadows, and it just made me think, gee, what a great marriage that would be, getting Bridge Meadows, which creates intergenerational communities for foster kids, married with Bridge Housing, which just has an outstanding track record. So that's going to be one of my goals in my final year here, maybe forge that relationship a little bit better.
Always glad to help.
Yeah. Thank you for that idea. But this is really, I'm very proud to have had some association with this project, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I certainly see my role here is to continue the excellent leadership that started this project all those years ago. Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish reminded us, again, as appropriate to do, the history that brings us here and makes the approach to housing in our community unique. We are not Tokyo. We are not Montreal. And we are not Singapore. We are Portland. And we have our own issues, our own obstacles, our own desires, our own culture around development. But what we all agree is we need more workforce and affordable housing, and we need it yesterday. And Commissioner Fish has done a great job, or if I can call him Commissioner Saltzman Fish, I think that sounds nice, has done an excellent job of keeping permanent supportive housing front and center. And Director Krieger, I want to echo all of those who say you used a lot of creativity here. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of the lingo around housing. I do know a thing or two about bonding capacity and finance. I think you've put together a capital stack here that is very innovative and thoughtful given the resources that we have. I think you're leveraging resources in a really responsible and creative way. And it's important to combine those two things when you're talking about finance. I also just want to put an admonition out there. Things change on January 1st. Things change with the passage of the Tax Act. And it will have implications for our ability to develop these kinds of projects. The cost will go up, and some of the tools that are currently available to us may not be available to us in the future. And that's just the reality under which we have to operate. We'll continue to be responsible and creative in our approach. So thanks to everybody who worked on this. Thanks to folks, you guys who took your Thanksgiving weekend and took time away from your families and other opportunities to help make sure that we got this done. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.